Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a moody Nightbus jungle top loop and turning it into a real arrangement tool inside Ableton Live 12. This is the kind of detail that can make a drum and bass track feel alive before the drop even arrives. Not just a loop playing, but a loop that flickers, breathes, and changes shape across the tune. Think brushed hats, broken break fragments, little bits of foley, distant percussion, and atmosphere all sitting up top, while the sub and kick keep the floor moving underneath. The big idea here is simple. Instead of leaving your loop static, we're going to resample it, slice it, and arrange it so it behaves musically. That means you'll end up with a main atmospheric version, a chopped variation, and a transition version that can help you build tension, create fills, and move between sections without overcrowding the low end. Let's start by setting up the session. Open a blank Ableton Live 12 project, and set the tempo somewhere around 172 BPM. That's a very strong sweet spot for modern jungle and roller energy. Then create a few tracks so your workflow stays clean. I'd name one audio track Top Loop Print, another Top Loop Chop, and if you want, keep a return or utility chain ready for space effects. Now bring in your source material. This can be a short break fragment, some hat movement, a shaker loop, muted percussion, or even a bit of atmospheric noise. The important thing is that this loop lives in the top end. We do not want kick or sub energy here. In drum and bass, the low end has to stay disciplined so the kick and bass line can hit cleanly. Before you record anything, shape the loop so it works like a DNB top layer rather than a full drum loop. Start with EQ8 and high pass the low end, usually somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz, depending on how thick the sample is. If the loop feels thin afterward, you can add a little drum bus for density and transient push. Keep the drive modest, maybe around 5 to 15%. Use crunch lightly if you want extra texture, and keep boom off or very low because this is not where your weight lives. If the loop feels static, add auto filter and move the cutoff slowly over time. That movement is a huge part of the Nightbus feel. You want the loop to shimmer and shift a little, not just sit there like wallpaper. And if the stereo image is too wide or messy, pull it in a bit with utility. Especially in darker DNB, you usually want the rhythmic core to feel controlled, with width mostly in the upper texture. If your source is a break or hat pattern, warp it just enough to lock to the grid, but don't overcorrect it. A tiny bit of looseness is part of the jungle character. You want groove, not clinical perfection. Now comes the important part, resampling. This is where you commit the sound and bake in the movement. Set your top loop print track to record from the source track, or from the master if you want to print the full processed result. Arm the track and record 4 or 8 bars while the loop plays in context. If possible, have at least a basic kick, snare, and sub guide already running. That's a really important coach note here. Print in context, not in isolation. A loop that sounds great by itself may need different slicing decisions once it's sitting against a drum and bass groove. Print a few different passes if you can. Do one clean pass, one with the filter moving, one with a little more distortion, and maybe one with space effects. Having options matters a lot in sampling workflows. The first pass gives you the core idea, but the second or third pass is often where the magic lives. Once you've recorded the loop, drag the audio onto a new track and start chopping it up. At this stage, we're not trying to make it perfect, we are trying to make it useful. You can cut manually with Command or Control E, or use sliced in UMIDI track if you want to trigger pieces in simpler. For this workflow, I'd start manually. Cut on strong transients first. Then separate out a few short fragments, some longer tails, and any ghosty little details that feel interesting. A good jungle edit often lives in those tiny overlooked moments. Think in phrase lengths as you slice. DNB and jungle edits usually land best when they respect 2-bar, 4-bar, and 8-bar movement. If a chop sounds good, but feels like it's floating awkwardly, try placing it at the end of a phrase instead of forcing it into the middle. Rhythm in this style is not just about sound choice, it's about phrase placement. You can also load a slice into simpler if you want more performance control. Put it in one-shot mode for hard hits, or classic if you want it to loop or sustain a bit. Keep fade times short so you don't get clicks, and if you're darkening the chop, low pass it a bit so it sits more like texture than a bright lead. Now let's turn the loop into an arrangement. A strong way to do this is to build an 8-bar phrase with a sense of call and response. Bars 1 and 2 can hold the full atmospheric loop. Bars 3 and 4 can introduce chopped variation. Bars 5 and 6 can bring in filtered movement or slightly reduced version. Then bars 7 and 8 can give you a fill, a reverse tail, or a little tension push into the next section. That last part matters a lot. leaving one intentional weak bar or even one small moment of silence can make the next hit feel much bigger. Silence is a sample too. In dark DNB, negative space is powerful. A tiny gap can create bounce and make the whole groove feel more intentional. As you arrange, keep the loop from fighting the bass line. If the bass line is dense, thin the loop out. Remove more low end, reduce some busy mid-range, and let the sub own the center. The top loop should add attitude and motion, not cloud the impact of the drop. Now we add movement with automation. Automate auto filter cutoff to open and close across the phrase. You can sweep from around 300 Hz up to 10 or 14 kHz depending on the energy you want. Keep resonance subtle unless you're deliberately going for a ringing effect. You can also automate utility width if you want the loop to feel tighter in the intro and wider in the breakdown. Reverb and delay should be used carefully, mostly on selected hits or transitions rather than all the time. This is where the loop stops sounding like a sample and starts sounding like part of the track's phrasing. For example, you might open the filter slowly over four bars, then snap it shut right before the drop. That kind of contrast is classic in heavier drum and bass, because it creates tension without needing a huge melodic change. Next, treat the chopped version as its own voice. On your top loop chop track, try a bit of beat repeat for controlled glitch energy. Keep it subtle. A grid of 1/8 or 1/16, short decay, and a low chance setting can give you that flickering machine hiccup feel without ruining the groove. If you want more edge, add a little saturator or redux. Just be careful not to overdo it. Too much processing can flatten the character and make the loop feel noisy instead of musical. This chopped layer should appear only where it helps the arrangement. Think end of phrases, pre-drop bars, switch-up moments, or just behind a bass line answer. If your bass line is already very active, make the chop even thinner and higher in the spectrum. The goal is punctuation, not constant motion. A great advanced move here is micro-stutter fills. Take a single transient from the resample and repeat it 3 to 5 times at the end of a phrase. That flicker can create a lot of energy with very little material. Another good move is a reverse-to-hit design. Reverse a slice, fade it in, and slam into the original transient. That works really well before snares or transitions. Now let's talk about the final arrangement pass. Try building three versions of the loop, a clean one for intro and DJ-friendly sections, a chopped one for tension and fills, and a transition version with more filter motion and reverse tails. That way you're not relying on one loop to do every job. You're designing a small family of sounds that can carry the track forward. A practical layout might look like this. The intro starts with atmosphere and a thin chop. Then the drop comes in cleaner, with the bass and drums taking priority. Later, you bring back the chopped version for a midsection switch-up or breakdown. On the second drop, you can get a little more aggressive and use the more processed print. That kind of escalation makes the track feel like it's evolving, not just repeating. One thing to remember, save versions aggressively. Duplicate the track when you print a good pass. In sampling workflows, options are part of the sound. Sometimes the best edit is not the one you expected in the moment, but the one you saved and revisit later. Before we wrap up, here are a few quick coach reminders. Don't leave too much low end in the loop. High pass it more if needed. Don't make the loop so busy that it crowds the bass line. If the loop masks the snare, reduce its transient content or thin out the arrangement. Don't overprocess with saturation or distortion. A little goes a long way. And don't overfix the timing. A bit of looseness can make the groove feel more human and more alive. If you want to push this further, try making a 16-bar Nightbass top loop arrangement using just one original source. Create three printed versions, make the arrangement evolve every four bars, and include one reverse lead-in, one silent gap, one filtered build, and one stutter fill. Then compare that against the same loop left unchanged. You'll hear immediately how much more energy and intention the edited version has. So the core lesson is this. Take a moody DNB top loop, resample it in Ableton Live 12, chop it into useful pieces, and arrange it so it evolves with the track. Keep the low end clean, resample early, chop for phrasing, automate for tension, and always give the bass line room to own the drop. Do that well, and one small Nightbass loop can turn into a full arrangement toolset for jungle intros, rollers, and darker drop sections.